For listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Good evening, Valley Bible. How's everybody doing this evening? My name's Tom. This is Joe. Can we give it up for Joe? Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it, sir. And then can we give it up for the worship band one more time? We are truly blessed to be in the house of God. And I'm excited for what God wants to speak here tonight. My name's Tom. I am the Northwest Campus pastor. And I am sharing from the book of Ephesians tonight. So if you have your Bibles on you, open them up to the book of Ephesians. Turn them on to the book of Ephesians. Whatever it is that you guys are at, Gennaro made a comment about Christmas shopping. How's it going for everybody? Okay. Yeah, that economy, huh? Okay, got it. We've been in the book of Ephesians for what seems like a long time now. And we are closing it, you know, getting ready to close it after I don't know how many months we've been in this. I want to look at the context of tonight's passage in the entirety of at least chapter 5. We're going to be in verse 11, and I think sometimes, however it is that you are a Bible reader, what I like to do and what I've been doing ever since I gave my life over to God and decided to live for Him and made Jesus my Savior and I, you know, just not going back, I have... The times have changed, but I would always wake up, make the coffee, open the scriptures, and just sit there and read. And I still do that to this day. And it's been something that, you know, I've gone through a whole bunch of different ways of reading the scriptures. I've gone through reading a chapter, you know, and in one sitting and, you know, trying to dissect it. I use a ruler when I underline. I don't know if you're that particular about your lines in scripture. I did used to like the edgy kind of like, I don't use a straight edge anymore. I want it to look like, you know, my life and it's all raw and natural and aggressive and all this stuff. And then I got super particular and I'm like, you know, I'm gonna get highlighters and, you know, yellow is gonna mean this and then blue is gonna mean this and green's gonna mean this. And then I would start reading through it and I'm like, I have no idea what this even means anymore. And, you know, you try, right? Like you try to do the best job that you possibly can. And before I get into like the rest of tonight, like this, that is God's attention, is our heart behind anything that we do. And so, you know, I don't want us to look at just tonight. If you are new, we've been doing verse by verse on Wednesday nights. So little by little, we've just been chewing up a couple of verses, maybe 10 verses, maybe 3 verses, whatever it is, and have just been looking and tearing apart the words and what they mean and all that so that we could properly understand it. But sometimes, you ever hear the expression before? There's an expression called... Or basically, it goes, you can't see the forest because of the trees. And the statement basically meaning you're so fixed on one tree, you can't focus on the beauty of the forest. And sometimes I feel like we can do that with scripture. You know, you look at one verse and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe God's like that. Or, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is what it means. Oh my gosh. And we get so fixated on this one particular verse that we kind of lose the heart behind what was being said. And so as we're, you know, 5 chapters deep into this book written to a church in a place called Ephesus, we're going to look at something tonight that's like, oh, whoa, I get it now. I feel so bad, or, you know, however you're going to receive it. But it's important that we look not only at this book of what was written to the church in Ephesus, but also the Bible as a whole. And we don't lose, you know, it's really interesting. When the Old Testament ends, We think that it's like the this Old Testament version of God and this New Testament version of God. It's the same God. And so sometimes it gets a little messy. And a lot of times what I've heard from people is, you know, God is so loving in the New Testament, and he's a killer in the Old Testament, really critical on his people, and really, you know, and it's like he's not bipolar. He didn't go one way here and then totally flip the script here. It's the same God. And so as we look at tonight's scripture, especially if you're new, I really hope there's non-believers listening to this here in attendance tonight or listening online, because this is good for you as well. And what I mean by good is it's good for you to be here with us. We're not turned off by your presence, and we're not turned off by your being here. If anything, I feel like we're doing it wrong if there aren't any non-believers here. I mean, that's the whole goal, right? Go out, bring them in. Go out, bring them in. Otherwise, like Pastor Ron says, we just become like a country club. And so tonight we are looking at this book that was written a long time ago by a guy who's no longer alive to people who are no longer alive, but it still applies to us today. And we had Pastor Al pray. I know you've been praying. Gennaro prayed. I feel like we're prayed up. I've been praying for you. Obviously, you've been praying for me. That's kind of how this works. But we are going to be in Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 11, because Pastor Al brought us all the way up and read through verse 10 last week. So here we are. I'm going to read verse 10 real quickly, Alex, and then if you can put that verse 11 up, because this kind of is kind of an important ending from last week. It says, verse 10 says, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord, period. Now we go into verse 11. Now do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all the things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Everyone okay? So I want to look at a couple of words here right at the start there. In verse 11, it says, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead expose them. So what everyone instantly thinks, they got to go down to Hobby Lobby. They got to get themselves a big old sign. They got to write down that you can't listen to rap, that you can't go out at night. There's a lot. Get rid of all your subscriptions. Only download any Christian movies or Christian music videos or Christian shows. And what you got to do is you got to stand on every street corner, and that sign's got to be held up. You got to let everyone know what the darkness is. That's what we think. But I want to look at this here, because I think typically, I mean, I remember going to the Kern County Fair, and there would be people, you know, the Kern County Fair, if you got there late, the line's all long, so now you're stuck in this long line. And there's a guy always standing there holding up the signs, boom. And he's got like three signs all on one stick, like super Christian. And so he's holding that out, and then he'll hold that out at other big events just to stand there and just, you know, expose people. If you got saved that way, that's cool. That's not how I do it. But that's, boom. And so that's what we think. And so if you're not that kind of person, you know, your handwriting's not good or whatever your thing is, like you the sign thing isn't good for you. You know, Pastor Al and I, for as long as I've known Pastor Al, he's always been an evangelist. You know, dude puts his hair in a ponytail and lets it rip. You know, he's ready to go. And I'm like, Al, I don't do that like you. Like, I'm not that kind of guy. The kind of guy that I am, I like to sit down with people. Like, my phone will be off. I used to have like a little Apple Watch, but it just bugged me because every time it would like go off, I'd look at it, and then I instantly knew that now like you and I were not locked in that conversation any longer. And so for me, I like to do it just like one-on-one. I like to, if you want to title it anything, like mentor or disciple or, you know, meet and greet or just, you know, it's 2023, so hang out. I like to hang out. So does that make me any less of a believer because I'm not Pastor Al? Right, like it's everyone has their piece to the family of God. Everyone fits in the family of God, right? The scriptures are clear about that. Like, you know, everyone, somebody's gotta be like that skin on the elbow, you know, and I'll gladly take it. It's like, we've gotta be okay with the positions that God has designed us for. But so let's look at these words here, not to compare you and everyone, we've gotta be like Pastor Ron, or we gotta be like these other people that we know. It says in verse 11, it says, do not participate. That word is pretty simple, but I wanted to further define it because Pastor Ron has a fun way of defining this word. So the word participate is also another word for fellowship. Pastor Ron says, two fellows in one ship. Two fellows, one ship. So think about that. Like if you and your friend or you and a complete stranger in a little ship, I guess it would be a boat, now that I think about it. Is what it is. So just two of you, the intimacy that's there. Okay, so this idea, do not have fellowship, don't do life with, in this unfruitful deed of darkness. So let's look at that word unfruitful. It means not yielding what it should. Let's look at the word deeds. Where deeds is that which will fail the approval of God in the last judgment. So this is something that we're not supposed to have our lives in, and I think the word darkness is pretty self-explanatory, right? Evil, right? We got that. So do not have fellowship in anything that's not yielding what it should, because this thing will fail the approval of God in the last judgment. And then it says, we're not supposed to have anything to do with them. Instead, expose them. And the word expose there is the conviction to bring to light. The thing that convicts you to bring it to light. And this idea of what this could be. I mean, I went back and forth on whether or not I should make a list of the things that this falls under the category of. But I feel if you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, I don't need to make a list. I feel like there are some things that you just kind of know. And you know what's so funny too? About Christians and teaching opportunities and lists is I feel like God doesn't always move in that list. I think one day watching your favorite TV show is bad, and the next day it might not be. Y'all ever been there when you're like sitting, getting ready to maybe to relax for like the first time in maybe 2 weeks? Oh, you're getting ready to sit down on the couch. It's been a long whatever. And as you go to do the thing that makes you comfortable, you feel that in you like, hey, don't do that. Hey, don't do that. And you lean into it a little bit and you're like, why? And it's like, God's like, I just want to talk to you right now. I know you've been overwhelmed with some stuff. You're kind of stressed out. And you're like, yeah, I am, but I'm going to do this thing anyways. And we do this. It's what humans do. And then for the life of us, we can't figure out why our lives end up the way that they are, because I'm guilty of it too. Sometimes you just want to listen to music on a drive. You don't want to really flush out all your problems with the Lord. You don't want to have to, you know, there's somebody that God's telling you, hey, call this person. You guys have been up to some stuff. Call this person. Hey, like, you know, and you're like, God, honestly, I don't want, when I call that person, they spend 20 minutes talking. I get 2 minutes in. They don't ever ask anything about me. It's me constantly hearing about their drama. Nothing's changed. It's the exact same thing. I would just rather listen to music. Right? It's just what happens. And so not to say that to do that every single time is a sin or not a sin, but that's my point, is that sometimes God could say, listen to your music, relax, chill. And then sometimes he'll be like, hey, you can do that, but just give me some time. I just want to talk to you real quickly, just real quickly. And it's interesting, because I think when we originally read that verse 11, some of us, we can feel as though, like, oh yeah, don't be a partaker in evil. Duh. I don't do that. Partake in evil. Which is really cute, because we all do. And I've got an example. Pastor John, can you play that pad, please? We all know what music is. Music's pretty. Music's beautiful. There's a lot of ways to make music, though. There's a lot of ways to make music. Some of us, we feel like, oh, we know what we're doing. We're making music. Because that's all that music is. Just making sound. Taking an instrument and doing the best that you can. It's like, hold on a second. You can't just do whatever. You gotta play something pretty. And like this pad, God's saying, this is where I want you to play at. I need you to play in key with this. You can't just do whatever you want. And so then some of us, we read scripture, we interpret it our own way. And you're like, oh, look at me, I'm making music now. Sounds pretty good. Like, this is music. We can do this. And your mom would tell you, wow, you're doing so good. But it's not quite right still. It's not the right key. You can do the best that you can, but you notice they're not. That's not. I mean, it's music, sure. But it's not where it's supposed to be. Oh, this is how. This is how it should sound. It's not clashing anymore. Because now you're playing with the voice. And where God's been trying to lead you. Because sometimes we're like, yeah, no, I read the scriptures. I've read them. I know what it says. And how? Who are you to judge, by the way? I'm making music. But the whole time, God's going, but I'm asking you to play to a certain key, to a certain frequency. I'm asking you to play in the way that I need you to play. Is that making sense? And so when God is guiding us and directing us, and tonight we come here, and it's like, wait a second, I'm supposed to give up. There it is. I'm supposed to give up some things that are unfruitful, and these things that are, they're not going to hold weight when it comes to the final judgment. We all know what that looks like. And if you don't, it is really, really simple in Scripture. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. I want to hang on this, please. Be imitators of God as beloved children. If you have kids, you know what this is all about. They will copy anything that you do. My son is 3. He has learned now that if something doesn't go the way that he wants, you will hear him in the back seat go, "So stupid." And you go, "Hold on, bro. Hold on. You mean so stupid? Is that what you, did you just say that about what I just said to you?" And he gets all dramatic too. He'll look out the window. He's just, "Oh, so stupid." It's like, where'd you even learn that? They watch us, right? And in scripture, it says, be imitators of God. Be imitators of God. So, can anybody give me the verse where it says that Jesus slept around? I think that's... What about last time Jesus cussed anybody out? I don't need to go down the laundry list of things that we do. But it's just funny how we can read the scriptures, but then when opportunity presents itself, we will go out and do the very thing that we know we're not supposed to do, but just justify it by saying, I'm human. I'm a sinner saved by grace. When God is saying, I've adopted you, you're part of my family now. And I want to lead you into a life that is worth living. I want to bring you in and set you free from some of these things. And the reason why I'm hitting this so hard, and we got 10 more minutes. The reason why I'm hitting this so hard is because God's going to ask us to do something that is going to be incredibly uncomfortable. Because he does tell us that these unfruitful deeds, you are supposed to expose them in your life. A buddy of mine who was a drug addict, we were talking about how he got to being better. And he goes, for the first time in my life, I took my name and I took the word drug addict, he said, and I put them together. He said, I finally realized I had a problem. He said, for the longest time, I never acknowledged it. I kept them separate. My name and the word drug addict never went together. And we do that. The longer that we stay in the dark about the issues that we have, the longer we will be bound by that. And I can speak from experience because I remember when I was younger, I don't even know how old, maybe like 8. I don't know. My mom can, dad, they can correct me. But we were moving. And my dad had like this little like moped scooter thing, and the keys to it I had because I was messing around on the bike. And my dad goes, hey, you're gonna lose those keys. Don't mess with them. And I was like, okay, dad, like whatever, not that big of a deal. And then sure enough, I don't know how it happened. The keys were gone. Don't know how. And so we go throughout our day of like trying to like get stuff together. We ended up having to go to U-Haul and we were doing all this stuff. And I'm like tripping. Me and my brother were, I'm just like tripping. And I'm thinking like, dude, like, oh, what are we gonna do about these keys? Freaking out about them. Finally, we get to the house and there was a spot that I thought that I knew that they were at. And I went, I looked, not there. And I'll never forget like the doorway. There was like a walkway and there was a door. And I remember coming around the front of the house, and I knew my dad was right there. And I did one of those cries where like, you know like when little kids, like their shoulders come up, and it was just like, and I remember like looking at my dad, because I was just like, I'm like, I am in so much trouble. I am going to get absolutely, I don't know what's gonna happen to me. I don't know. My dad wasn't like, I'm gonna kill you. But I knew something bad was gonna come. So I come around the corner, and my shoulders are high. And my dad looks at me, and he's like,
what is wrong? What's going on? I'm like, oh, the keys. I lost the keys. He's like, it's all right. Like, don't worry. Like, I don't know why you're worrying. So it's okay. Brought me in, told me everything was going to be okay. And I don't remember what happened after that. All I know is I lived and everything was fine. It was one of those moments where I for some reason, I thought I was going to be absolutely destroyed. And we do that. We think that if we hold on to this, whatever your thing is, you could be keeping it from your spouse, you could be keeping it from a best friend, you could be keeping it from a family member, it could be from whoever. And we think that if we hold on to this, then we're doing everybody something good. But what God is saying, and he says it a lot throughout Scripture, we're going to look at a couple of verses just real quickly, but he says it a lot throughout Scripture, confess your sins. If you can put up Leviticus chapter 5, verse 5. So it shall be when he becomes guilty in one of these that he shall confess that in which he has sinned. Proverbs 28, verse 13, please. He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. James chapter 5, verse 16, please. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you will be healed. Acts chapter 3, verse 19, please. Therefore, repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away. 1 John chapter 1, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins. And for some reason, we think we know more. For some reason, we still don't do that. And I can speak from experience. Dude, I know how uncomfortable it is. I know how uncomfortable it is to tell a friend something, to tell your spouse something. Something like that. If you're married, your spouse should know everything about you. I don't care, men, if it makes you look weak. They should know if you're struggling with something. Ladies, you're perfect, so, you know, it is what it is. You married us, it is what it is. But if on the odd chance, they should know, no matter how uncomfortable it is. Because I remember my wife and I, we were talking about something, and she was asking me questions, and she even like asked me a question. She's like, I don't want to know the answer to this one. But then she asked me the question, and it was hard. That whole conversation was awful. But you still do it. Because you know what happens after you confess those things? It no longer binds you. It's out in the open. It's not something you got to be secretive about anymore. Even if you think, oh, one day I'll get it under control, you haven't done it yet. What makes you think you're going to be able to do it now? And even more so, hiding it is exactly what Adam and Eve did in the garden. They hid. They were ashamed. And all it did was just separate them from the Father. And so we read here in Scripture that we are supposed to expose these things. And it's going to be okay. Now, I mean, sure, there is a process. Sure there is. You can't just go home and be like, honey, I blew our savings. You know, like you gotta mellow out, you know? You gotta find a right way to talk about it. But I do also want to encourage you with this. You can also tell the Father. Because I'll be completely honest. There's something about just going to God. I feel like God knows all my thoughts. And so I go to him and I'm like, hey, I know you saw that. I know you saw my heart on that too. And I'm sorry. I thought this thing and I don't know why I thought it. Like I apologize. I want to be better. Because if you can't go to the Father, who Scripture tells us who's in secret, How are you going to get that healing from that person that you've hurt, that person that it's, if it's your spouse that can keep you accountable, if it's a best friend to keep you accountable? And it's real, it's really, really simple. There is a verse in Matthew chapter 5. It says, if you are presenting your offering at the altar and then you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering, but first be reconciled to your brother and then come and present your offering. I need to clear something up. It doesn't say before you go to church, go and do this. It says present your offering. You're sitting here praising God, worship's going on, but you know that you've wronged somebody. Well, now you're a hypocrite, right? Oh, God, you're so good, you're so forgiving, whatever, whatever, whatever. But you still haven't forgiven this person, or maybe you've lied to this person. That's what Jesus is talking about. Get things right. And if it takes some time, maybe there's some people in your life that you've cut out because they've hurt you so badly, the altar is available for you. Prayer people are available for you. You can pray by yourself while you're here as well. But what God wants us to do is be imitators of him. We shouldn't walk around stressed out, filled with anxiety, filled with depression, angry. These are not things that God at the beginning of all creation said, you will have these forever. But it does happen. I mean, like, look at our little ones. They don't have those issues going on. They're free-spirited. They're running around. Even when they're sick, you can't slow them down. But somehow we grow up and we grow into this. And what does God say? Faith like a child. We're supposed to lean into the Father like a child. Well, then who's going to take care of my this? And who's going to do this? And who's going to? Him? Him? Isn't that the whole thing? Isn't that what we signed up for? And so when Paul is writing this to the church of Ephesus, he's like, you guys, and he's even said it in the previous parts of this book. He's like, you got to cut this stuff out of your life. It's killing you. You've got to stop this. Furthermore, expose it. So my challenge to you, if you have a spouse, open up to them. Men, if you're afraid of feeling weak, I ask that you would talk to your wives and say, hey, I'm gonna be vulnerable with you. I need to share something with you. This is something that I want you to either hold me accountable for or keep me lifted up in prayer. Something, you know, you can ask me about it whenever. Ladies, if it's something similar, because I sometimes we just tend to stereotype. But if it's something similar, if it's an uncomfortable truth, but to share it so that you now are unified. If you're not married, find that believing friend of yours and have them hold you accountable. And I'm not saying, like, if you don't have anybody right now, you know, maybe you're new or maybe you've only been going for X amount of time, you haven't developed those relationships, go to the Father. Go to the Father. Tell him everything. But also ask him to bring somebody. Have him bring someone to you. We need this God first, people second. We need that. Because the enemy works here. The enemy works right here and will try to divide us and make us feel less than and use certain things. I mean, those days where you're like super sensitive. So if somebody doesn't compliment you just the right way, like your whole day's thrown off, we're usually driving around those people at 7 in the morning, 8 in the morning, and it just happens. But we need to have people that can hold us accountable.
Because yes, God is graceful and loving and he'll be there for us for sure. But sometimes we need that tough love too. So when Paul writes this, he raises the bar for us. But it's not necessarily a new bar. Jesus said, be holy as your heavenly Father is holy. We knew this, but Paul's just reiterating it. So for some of you, maybe you've gotten a little lax. For some of you, it might just be a reminder. For some of you, it might just be brand new information that we are called as believers to a higher standard. But I do believe it's all done out of love to free you, to set you free and to be the person that God has always designed you to be. So what I'd like to do now, if you would, please bow your heads and we'll pray. Father, this is one of those uncomfortable messages, Lord. Some of us are gonna have to give something up, throw something away, maybe remove some people from our lives because whenever we're around them, we do the very thing that we don't wanna do. And I pray for support for us, God. Help us with our emotions. Help us to do what's right, even when we don't want to. I ask for your spirit to strengthen us in those difficult times. It's never gonna be easy, Lord, being here on this side. So God, I pray for all of those that maybe, if they don't have a friend, if they don't have a spouse, if they don't have a mentor, someone to disciple them, God, I pray your voice is loud to them. I pray that you would bring them someone who would invest into them and guide them in your word. Father, if there's anybody here who just needs to get some things tightened up and fixed, I ask that they would get prayer. I pray for those marriages that are gonna go to a stronger and deeper level. I bind the enemy from messing and thwarting and confusing any of the conversations that are gonna be had. Pray for your spirit to take over. We can't do this without you, Father. If there's anybody here tonight who needs to give their lives over to you, to be sealed with your Holy Spirit, that they would have the strength, the courage, the boldness to come to the front and get that prayer. God, we thank you for just making us that much stronger as a church, as a family, as believers. You, God, you want what's best for us, and this is a step in that direction. We love you, God, and we praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, guys, we'll see you later. Have a great rest of your week.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King.